Now, sometimes there is absolutely nothing better than snuggling up on the couch or in a comfy chair under a blanket and booting up your all-time favourite game. Grab a brew and some snacks and escape into a fantasy world or online community. Or, if you're anything like me, there you'll sit there for 2 hours trying to decide which game to play and then never choose one. Anyway, whatever type of player you are, whether you play frequently or if you're someone who's just got an interest in games but only plays from time to time, you are in the right place. This is Press X to continue. It's the only gaming podcast you need. Think of us as the little angel on your shoulder that can help you make the right decision of what to play. My name is Stefan Powell, and with me again is the actor, streamer, and all-around top fella. It's Einar Tomlinson. Hello, Einar.
Hey, hey. I mean, angel on the soldier, more like devil on the soldier. You said snuggle up on the sofa. You know I ain't got a sofa yet. It ain't come yet. I'm playing games on the floor, bro.
Camping chair in the living room.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
When you've got the garden furniture in the house, that's when it's...
You know what, that is insensitive of me. And
yeah, you know what you were doing there.
No, I could throw... I could throw producer David under the bus here, but I'm not going to. I'm going to accept it and say, Einel, I hope your sofa arrives soon. Okay? And I hope you get to snuggle up and play...
Snuggling up on the sofa and playing games, man.
Well, very soon, mate. It'll be yours. Joining us this week, we've got streamer and host Dave Jewett is back from EXP. And Dave, you've done this before now, so this is, you're like an old hat to this. We want an unpopular opinion from you to start us off, please. What have you got for us?
I think that publicly visible player counts have been a net negative for video game discussion.
Oh, that's an interesting point. You're saying the fact that we know how many people are playing games is bad.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. People like to think we know. Like, the only real public number is either what games share themselves or on Steam stats. That's like such a fraction of what a player base, how a player base feels, what the player base is doing, how active the player base is, how active the community is. And it's just become such easy fodder for people to be like, oh, this game has only got 10,000 players. It's dying. Oh, this game has lost 70% of its player base. It's dying. Dead game. Like, that's such, like, boring, lazy conversation around games.
Yeah.
And it's not even accurate. Like, the amount of articles you see that's just like, oh, this thing has got X number of thousand players. It's great when it's a celebration. I love that stuff. It's great when, you know, like when Space Marine 2 started getting loads of players and they were celebrating it and you could tell that the Warhammer community and the franchise was growing because of it. Cool. But when players are like, oh, this beta or this demo or this early access thing only got 5,000 players, that means it's dead on arrival. It's boring. And when it's people use story games as well. It's like, oh, 60% of the player base dropped off after playing this story game that's sort of designed to be played once, enjoyed once,
yeah,
and then put away. It's not everything's also live service. It's just a very easy thing for people to be like, oh, number go down, guess that mean bad.
Yeah. So you're saying this is bad because it means that people's impressions or thoughts of a game can be altered because of a discussion where people say, well, look, people clearly aren't enjoying it because not as many people were playing it before, but actually it might have found its audience and they might be perfectly happy with the game they're playing, thank you very much, and that's fine. Is that your issue with it? Why is it a problem?
Well, it's not interesting conversation, but also the number of people that have been turned off because someone has said, oh, hey, look at this number going down, maybe you shouldn't play this game. It starts people off who might be thinking about getting into a game so wrong-footed because they think the player base is going down. And those people could be really enjoying those games. It does... It's got some cool elements, and in some ways, it is an interesting stat to have. But in general, I think it's used as a negative. It's used to negatively talk about a game or a franchise.
Yeah.
And I think we could do with less of that.
Sometimes it does the opposite as well, where it boosts a game up, you know, seeing because so many people are playing it and actually there's ways of manipulating the numbers, or they all come from, you know, a certain type of player from a certain part of the world, which means actually that game might be mega popular in parts of Asia. I'm thinking of some of the MOBAs out there, you know, the mobile online battle arena games, the League of Legends type games that are super popular over there, and it looks like everybody in the world's playing them, when actually they're not, so it can work the opposite side as well. Einel, you've been nodding your head very vociferously throughout this.
I agree with Dave. It also, it's the type of type of gamers as well on particular platforms. Like obviously with Steam, the majority of people are obviously playing on a PC. Like obviously there's handheld PCs, but most of them are playing on a PC at their desk in front of a monitor. And some, like for me, I sometimes own two copies of, like fortunate enough to have two copies of some games where I'll have one on the PC and one on the console. I much prefer playing on a console when I had a couch. So it's like a, it's one of those things when people, some people like playing types of games in certain areas of their house or in, when they're in certain moods and that sort of thing. And it doesn't account for that at all.
If I was to play devil's advocate, Dave, you could argue that the problem is not with the statistic itself or the fact that it is out there, but it is the way it is being used by journalists to create a clickbaity headline.
Yeah. I would agree. I think it's interesting to be able to see that stuff, even if we do see a slither of it. The other side of it is that, you know, you'll see community posts on social media of PRs and or studios and community managers celebrating milestones, which again is cool. But yeah, it's the use for clickbaity headlines or content creators as like a very easy dunk that just starts. Those conversations always feel like the start of a snowball getting bigger and bigger to continually dunk on a game.
This game's dead on arrival sort of thing.
It happened with Concord, didn't it? You know, it did, with how many people were playing Concord when it first came out after all that effort. And of course, it ultimately led to the death of that game after the millions that were poured into it. Well, look, let us know what you think of Dave's unpopular opinion. Do you agree with him? Do you disagree with him? Find us on social media. That is PressXPod on TikTok and Blue Sky, PressXPodcast on Instagram, and get involved in the conversation. There's a Discord as well. You can get in and share your thoughts with us. A couple of other ideas have come in from the Discord. Serenity Eve. Am I saying that right? Yeah, Serenity Eve says this. I miss the days, brackets late 2000s-ish, when single-player focused games would also incorporate an unnecessary multiplayer element in an attempt to stay relevant with the likes of Call of Duty because they created some of the best experiences. Some of my best multiplayer memories are from Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood went so hard.
Yes.
Bioshock 2 and Uncharted 3 multiplayers. Well, we've got a round of applause here for you, Serenit.
The Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer, that's
so good.
So many years ago, but it was responsible for such intense belly laughs from me and my mates. It was just basically virtual hide and seek, really, and like chasing each other. But it was such like giddy fun. The Last of Us had a really great multiplayer, the first one as well.
Yeah.
So good.
I love the Assassin's Creed just pretending to be an NPC. Just like, it's just like walking amongst the monks, just like, yeah, I'm one of you. And then all of a sudden, just like, ah!
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood's multiplayer walked, so Hidden Role games in 2024, 2025.
Yeah. You're right. We wouldn't have Among Us.
I think if you released a game that was basically Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, sort of as hide and seek aesthetic, as Dave described it so beautifully, I think it would pop off, you know. I think people would love that.
Well, that's why,
because it was so fun.
It's just another type of prop hunt, isn't it? Instead of a prop, you're an NPC.
Yeah.
And prop,
so prop
popular.
Hunt, if you've never played a prop hunt game, it's like it's one of the modes in like games like Call of Duty where you can hide as a chair or whatever, and they've got to try and guess who you are. I don't think we've had a massive round of applause like that for an unpopular opinion for a long time. Very good. And this one from Palantum said, people need to stop shouting about backwards compatibility and disk drives every time a new console comes out. A lot of discs just have an installer on them anyway, and if you really want to play your old Xbox 360 or PS3 games, maybe play them on your old Xbox 360 or PS3. I understand that some people may sell their old consoles to help buy a new one, but you'd probably sell the games with it anyway. If you want to play with your mates who have got the last-gen consoles, then you could wait until your mates get a new console. So not a big fan of the backwards compatibility chat is Palantir. But you know what's really interesting? I can remember when E3 was still a thing, and when they used to make big announcements at E3, when they announced one of the new Xboxes, either the Xbox Series X or the one that we've got at the moment. No, that is the one we've got at the moment. I always forget that the names of the Xboxes
are
so...
Xbox One was the one before that.
So when they announced the Xbox One, the biggest cheer in the room, I kid you not, was for when they announced backwards compatibility. Like, what is that? That's the biggest cheer in the room. You can play all your old games again. What's all that?
I think it's just a sign of the times, isn't it? It's a sign of the times. Because I remember when the Wii came out and you could play GameCube games on it, and most people didn't even know you could. most people didn't, like, there was a flap on the top where you could plug your GameCube controllers. Most people didn't even know it was there. And so it's like, some people love that sort of thing. Some people didn't even, don't even care about it at all. And it's just, I think the sign of the times now where physical games are starting to disappear, a lot of people are pining for those old games that they used to have before and they want to go back and play them.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm doubting myself in my timeline here. It was when they announced the Series X, actually, not the Xbox One, so I'm not that old.
Was it?
Yeah, when they announced Series X, they announced that it was going to be backwards compatible. It came a big, shiny green writing on the screen and the place went nuts. They went bananas for
Which is crazy considering the Xbox One didn't really have many games. What was it? What was going to be backwards compatible with the Series X? All the best games on Game Pass that are from their backwards compatibility catalog are from the 360.
Yeah, yeah. Bigger Banjo Kazooie. Yeah. You know, like
I'm playing Dante's Inferno more than I'm playing Sunset Overdrive. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much, Palantum and Sorrent E, for your suggestions. You can do the same. Get involved in the Discord. We love to hear your unpopular opinions. Right then, before we...
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Get into, I mean, Dave's got a very exciting review of Doom on the way because he's been playing it. Notice we always get you on, Dave, to review games where you bash big things violently. Have you noticed that?
That's my niche, I think.
We need
resident expert Dave.
Let's get the bashing guy back on again. Where's Dave? Give Dave a call.
Skulls to be clashed. Yeah, yeah. Call Dave.
But it is that time again. We do start with a trivia question. So let's hit the music.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Turn the lights down low wherever you are, get in the mood, and try and answer this question. Of course, you can get your trivia questions into the team on Discord as well. None of the regular guests, including me and Inel, can see the channel, so we can't see the questions. Nobody can see it except for the production team, so you can be assured that there is, you know, the topmost protection of your question here. We take this very, very seriously. Right, the question is this. What simple hack did a developer on the game Wing Commander in 1990 do to solve the problem of an error message which read memory manager error and it displayed when players exited the game? What simple hack did a developer on the game Wing Commander do to solve the problem of an error message displaying when players exited the game? Any thoughts? At the moment, by the way, Einel, you've got a 25%. You're getting 25% of your answers right. Dave, you are currently 0 from 2. However, I am only 2 from 21, so you're not. You're, okay, you know, don't,
so I
don't
need,
feel bad
I need
about
something
it.
Soon then.
Maybe.
Is it like something like easy? Like there was like one letter of code that was in that was wrong, and they refixed it with that. Because I used to happen a lot with those girls games back in the day, because they were just like typing it all out. It was just like one. There was a capital letter where there was a capital letter shouldn't have been.
Oh yeah, you're saying some capital letters issues. Anything you've got, Dave?
Didn't it? Because I remember my old mate in uni used to be really into retro games and like DOS games and stuff.
Yeah,
was it? Didn't it just run a line that said like "Thank you for playing"? It was like a game equivalent of "It is now safe to turn off your computer."
Ooh, good suggestions. Well, we will give you the answer at the end of the podcast. So stick with us for that answer for the error message from Wing Commander 1990. I played Wing Commander 1990. I had no idea what I was doing because I was very small. but it was quite cool to sort of be in that space, wasn't it? And see if you can get it right anyway. And we will let you know what the answer is at the end of the podcast. Now, quick mention, the Nintendo Switch 2 has come out. By the time you're listening to this, it is either out or about to be out very, very soon. Now, because of our recording schedules, we currently aren't playing it because it doesn't exist in our hands at the moment. But officially.
It's in some people's hands.
It's in some... You're right, Dave. Mm-hmm. Not in ours, but we will talk about it properly when we do have our hands on it. Okay, so don't panic. There will be plenty of Nintendo Switch 2 chat coming in the coming weeks. But let's get into it then. Dave, let's jump straight. We normally wait for our reviews. You know, we go to our reviews, you know, later on in the podcast. But I think I want to know what Doom is like, because I had the big chocolate skull.
Yeah, I got it.
Right, and I said it before.
Still eating it.
Eating the chocolate skull. Right, I was doing like a sort of weight loss body transformation thing when that skull came, and not eating that chocolate because I smashed it in half with a hammer, which was amazing. So fun to do.
I was very worried for your hob.
Yeah, so was I. I didn't think that through, did I? And very lovely, lovely work from the PR team. However, the challenge to not eat that thing while I was trying to lose a bit of weight, goodness me. But Dave, so Doom the Dark Ages, tell us about it.
It just rules really hard. It's like, if you just tried to create a mood board of rad, heavy metal, 80s things, like, half of it would consist of, you know, album art. That is the game incarnate. It's intense, it just really encapsulates the brutality and strength of Doom and the Doom Slayer. There was a bit of chat from one of the developers that said Doom Eternal turns you into a fighter jet, and Doom the Dark Ages, you're a tank. And I was like, okay, that's maybe hyperbolic. When I played it, I was like, no, that absolutely nails it. It really encapsulates the stand and fight mantra that they're going for. Instead of dashing around the map, you're really squaring up to each and every enemy, shield and gun in hand. Everything is very like well designed, with the thought of getting into a big demon's face and either shooting it, punching it, smashing its dome piece with a flail, or throwing a big circular saw shield at it.
Yeah.
This is
the bashing guy, Div. This is why we're bashing stuff. This is why you're
there's
here.
There's a lot of bashing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of visceral descriptions as
well.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like a bit old now, and it's just like, it reminds me of the good old days of video games. But it is just very unapologetically fun. Like, it's just exciting. It's just intense. And the game knows that you're just there to kill demons. You're there to hit stuff with big weapons and shoot things. Because the story is there, but like there's not a huge amount of the story exists to smoothly transition you from one big arena full of demons that you kill to another big arena of demons that you kill. But what's quite funny is that the Doomslayer himself is as disinterested in people talking to him about what the hell is going on as I think half the players are. The Doomslayer will actively just turn away from conversations or walk away in the middle of someone's sentence. And you're like, yeah, that's fine, because frankly, I just want to get to the next big arena full of demons that I can
smash. We were talking before you came on, Dave, about this, and you were saying, I know, weren't you? Like, I've got no idea what the hell's going on.
I've got no idea what's going on in Doom, exactly, but I'm loving it.
It's still just
no idea.
An exciting time. It delivers on the power fantasy of the Doomslayer so well, and it's a new type of power fantasy for the Doom franchise. Like I said, Eternal was fast and rapid and intense and momentum, go go go, whereas the Dark Ages, it makes you feel like that giant, a bit like a space marine. I know, you know how this feels. Plant your feet in the ground.
I think that's why I like it.
And just think, it's just got such come at me energy. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. And let me tell you, none of the demons are hard enough.
there's one move that encapsulates what you're saying. Is when you're on a ledge and you jump down, and you see like there's like 20 enemies below you, and you jump down and you just land on the floor. The ground shatter from the Demon Slayer just like landing on the floor is enough to kill all of them.
It's just everything about it just feels good.
Mm. Yeah, who is it for then? I mean, clearly it's for. Obviously, people who like first-person shooters. If people enjoyed the fast twitch fiberness of the previous version, right? You've talked about the different iteration and you know, because I can remember playing. Why is the name escaping me? Eternal.
There's Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, then Doom the Dark.
Yeah, Doom Eternal. It was Eternal. Yeah, Eternal. When I played Doom Eternal, it was very much running around like a headless chicken, shooting, dodging, ducking, diving. And given that there's, judging by your review, there's such a change in fighting style, if you will, of the main protagonist. Is this game still for the same players, or is it actually appealing to a different type of first-person shooter fan?
See, I
because you're not playing this game if you like Animal Crossing, are you? You know, it's for FPS isn't it?
The Doom franchise features Isabelle from Animal Crossing's husband, so there is some connection there.
Yeah, there we are.
But if you didn't like Eternal because it was too fast, I think you will like The Dark Ages. Eternal is my favorite Doom game. The Dark Ages is my second favorite Doom game now. But even if you, like me, if Eternal is / was your favourite, there is still so much of the intensity that's iconic to the Doom franchise that you'll still have an absolute blast. It's just delivering on a different power fantasy. We've all, you know, grown up been like, yeah, mate, it would be cool to be a fighter jet. It would be cool to be, you know, to be in a tank or a big space marine or a giant Gundam or something. Those are two very different power fantasies of fast and efficient, or like tough and strong. This is where you get that tough and strong power fantasy. But it scratches the same ape part of my brain as all the other Doom games, and just allows me to lose myself into the gore and viscera of hellish abominations, and where the left click, the left mouse button on my mouse as I just tear through stuff. And it's just, there's just something great and cathartic about that.
And you, you go. I know. I'm just wondering if the lack of story or the existence of the story, and you not really caring about the story, that doesn't detract, Dinell, from your enjoyment of it at all.
Doesn't detract at all. And let me say that the animations are absolutely fantastic. The cutscenes look great. Like everything looks like flows. Oh, it's probably the smoothest Xbox game I've played in terms of, I've not seen any dips or anything. It's so silky smooth, and especially when there's so much going on the screen. But it's just, like they said, it's just so
that combination
fun.
Of and the music coming together with the amazing graphics and the spectacle of everything, getting into the rhythm of parrying attacks with your shield.
Yeah, the parrying is where it's at.
Responding with a gun.
And I think that's the huge difference, like what Dave was saying, in terms of Eternal, you're running around trying to dodge, and then you're trying to, like, kill that one, get out of the way, be more strategic. This one is just like, let me get in your face, and if you try and attack me, I'm just going to parry it back. And it's that kind of, it makes you feel like, it's like, you feel, do you know what it is? When I first played the original Dooms, like, I felt those games were scary, because there was loads of aliens, there was loads of enemies, and it was dark, and it was dreary, and it was like, ooh, it was scary, and the music was evil. This one, I don't feel scared of any of the enemies at all. If anything, they're scared of me, the way that I'm approaching them, and I think that's the difference.
Is that a problem? Because I think of Doom as being quite sort of scary experiences, because it can be overwhelming, the amount of stuff that's going on screen, the amount of choices you have to make second by second. So is the lack of that, therefore, Dave, actually a problem for it?
No, because I think the stand and fight mantra of the Dark Ages allows you to take combat at your own pace as well. Like with the Eternal comparison, you're dumped into an arena and you have to move fast. The Dark Ages gives you the option of, you can move fast, jump around and throw shields if you want, if you are able to, if that's the style of play that you enjoy. But if you would rather approach a little more slowly and have a little more consideration, that's absolutely fine too. Because the difficulty options, the accessibility settings and all that comes together to allow you to really tailor the experience to what you want it to be, without ever losing that exciting intensity, pure, like, red-blooded, heart-throbbing, like, just action, just unapologetic, angry, hellish action is still there.
You strike me as a man, Dave, that plays this on hard.
I might have.
I love if she's going to say play on the easiest difficulty.
There's nothing wrong with that, but...
Nothing wrong.
I like to really make the demons pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so your recommendation. So it's got a Metacritic score of 85. So a very high Metacritic score. So it's clearly the critics are enjoying it. It is £70 on Steam and the PS Store. It's also on Game Pass. So that might be a cheaper way for you to choose to play it. What's your recommendation then, Dave? You telling people to buy now, wait till it's on sale, maybe later on, or don't bother at all?
Buy now. If you like Doom games, if you just like action-packed games, just get in amongst it. Get into it. I don't think you're going to feel bad about investing in Doom the Dark Ages. And like I said, if it's on Game Pass, absolute steal for Game Pass. One of the Game Pass all-timers, I would say.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go and download it on Game Pass after this, actually, because it would fit in perfectly, Einar, with my little... You can dip in and out of it, right? Because you don't really care about the story.
It's my go-to game when I got, like, 15 minutes to spare. And I'm like, yeah, go on, and let's do... See a quick bit of Doom, yeah. Dark Ages. And I love how the we didn't really talk about it too much, but like it's a lot more, it's not open world, but it's a lot more open, the levels. Whereas like Doom Eternal and Doom 2016, you're in these kind of chambers, whereas a lot of the areas in Doom the Dark Ages are a lot more open. You can explore a lot more. You can like find out different secrets in the land and stuff like that. And the spectacle was just huge. When you're looking around like the landscape, you're just seeing like giant beasts fighting over there. There's a war going on that side. Something's on fire over there. Yeah. Dip in, dip out.
But have a little giggle of glee when you have those moments when you're mounting the giant laser-winged dragon with chain guns on its harness, or walking about in the giant mech, like fist-fighting huge demons and picking up shotgun, giant mech shotguns with shells as big as a semi-detached house. Like, there was so many moments where I would just either have a little giggle to myself or just be like, oh my god, that's rad as hell.
So there we have it then. That is Doom the Dark Ages. If that sounds like a bit of you, then you know what to do. Go and get it and go and play it, and then let us know what you think about it. Find us on social media or get involved in the Discord as well. All right, let's have some news now, starting with a bit of an update on GTA 6. What's the latest, Cammy?
The Press X to continue. GTA 6 update.
This drives me crazy, I'm an RFX. I've got no updates on GTA 6. It drives me crazy, I don't feel alive. Please instead just go play Grand Theft Auto 5.
Thank you very much for that update.
You've got another year of that.
Yeah, I know.
That bit,
I know.
He was
so thrilled when he had something to say a couple of weeks ago, but then he's realised, hang about, have I got to keep doing this until May 26th? And to be fair, we should probably give him a break. Or he might lose his mind. Now, this news has come up, and sometimes we've got to talk about stuff on the podcast that's a bit... You don't really want to be having the conversations. However, it's important to talk about it. We have heard that Naughty Dog is stepping in to give its actress, Tati Gabrielle, who's going to star in their upcoming game, Intergalactic, The Heretic Prophet, which, if you just join, you know, if this is your first episode with us, Neil Druckmann, who is working on that, gave us a very, very tiny hints about it in our exclusive interview with him a couple of weeks ago. You can go back and listen to it. By tiny hints, he basically said, yes, I'm still working on it. Anyway, and sort of gave a sense of how big the team is because there are multiple directors. Anyway, moving on. A boot camp, they are giving the actress, Tati Gabrielle, a boot camp on how to deal with online abuse. This is sad, isn't it? Already, she's been sent misogynistic and racist abuse. And this is, of course, after the backlash that Laura Bailey faced for simply playing a character in The Last of Us Part 2. So I guess my question is, Einel, I mean, you perform in games. This is sad to read, frustrating to read, but actually, is this the right thing to do to get ahead of it? We know it's going to happen, and so therefore you're better off preparing for it than hoping that things have got better.
100%, this is the thing to do. And I'm glad they're doing it, especially when you look at the history of what's happened to some of, as you were saying earlier, the previous actors and actresses when communities clash and they don't agree with certain choices and directions of which their favourite properties are going in. And so I welcome stuff like this because I always think back to all the stuff that happened to some of the Star Wars characters in the recent ones, and And a lot of them got chased off social media and to the point where it's affected their mental health. And a lot of them haven't even seen work again. And so, like, I really want to see this for Tati, because she's a fantastic actress. I mean, we saw bits of her in The Last of Us TV show. She played Nora as well. And she was great in that. And if that's like a hint of her acting abilities and what she's going to be like in this newest title, I can't wait. Yeah. I think she's going to blow it out the park.
But Dave, it's kind of important for us as, you know, people working and sort of talking about the games industry, isn't it? Because we say that, you know, gaming's come a long way in the last few years, and that you know, we see less sort of behaviour that used to define a lot of online gaming communities in the past. However, there is still a lot of rubbish out there. People do still face a lot of crap, don't they? And we should also not be afraid to talk about it and to call it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways communities, or the gaming community has improved, but I think over the past few years, the harassment towards talented like actors, the people that are become the face of the games, and the people within studios has increased. Like, I think it's really gross that if you don't like a game or if you don't like a creative choice, that at someone's outlet is like, I'm going to harass this individual, or I'm going to send hate their way. That I can't get my head around that. And it sucks that this happens. And this boot camp, it sucks that it has to exist. I'm glad it exists, and I'm glad that Support Network is there. And I honestly think it's something more studios should look into. Because I think Ubisoft recently did something around Shadows where they were aware that the game's going to have quite a negative reception, or at least because of the lead-up, there were going to be some bad actors in the gaming community trying to talk hate. And they were doing their best to prepare those teams. Again, like, I don't think that should have to happen. I'm glad that it is happening and those people are getting support, but really it shouldn't get that far. And I don't really know how we have gotten this far. There's always been bad actors in communities, but it really feels like it's dialed up. And Naughty Dog themselves.
Do you know what I think, Dave? It's one of those things where it's like, I think because the video games have been at the forefront of like technology and evolution when it comes to like social gaming and just like interacting with each other in general with various online communities. Because the industry's never had like a zero tolerance policy, it's allowed like certain bad actors to kind of grow and become quite relevant. And then obviously, like, when it comes to moments like this, when actors and actresses come out, or people of color, for example, they're just there causing all sorts of mischief, and we don't have the companies just saying, no, we don't want that, get out. Like, no one's actually ever said that. And so it's because they've been able to thrive, now we've got to a point where we have to have these things. And it's like, we shouldn't have to, like you say, we shouldn't have to have it. But it's because we just never had a zero tolerance policy at the beginning.
That's the thing, like, the number of times where a company would try and put something positive in place to protect their employees or protect the people that have worked in the game, the people that are acting in the game, the characters, the number of people that will see that happening and be like, oh, that's woke. And it creates that within that community of bad actors, within that side of the gaming community, they sort of snowball themselves. It's like, oh, they did this, which I didn't like. Oh, they're now supporting the people who are getting harassed because of the thing that me and other people didn't like. Oh, I also don't like that. I think there is, I mean, the thing that will help prevent this is if you get all this sort of thing, if you're someone that's found guilty of sending all this hate someone's way, next time you boot up your game, your Xbox, your console, your PC shouldn't work unless you can prove that you have gone outside and touched grass before you've booted the game back up. Because let me tell you, that is a good first step to not being such an online...
Let me sense the pollen within your fingers before we can
because,
play.
Because, you know, obviously we all love games, we love video gaming, we love the industry, that's what we're here, that's what we're talking about it. But also, it's just games, lads.
Grow up.
It's just games, ladies and gents. Just sometimes someone's made a creative decision you don't like. Who cares?
You don't have to like every piece of art. You don't have to like every piece of music. But are you going out and harassing people because you don't like a picture they drew or an episode of... I mean, to be fair, people are harassing people for any number of reasons, which is also crazy to me. But I think with games, it's because people invest so much of themselves into a game franchise. It resonates with them. They invest like hours and hours into playing it. They have a much more immersed experience than a TV show or a movie. They're almost like subconsciously more connected to it. So when something happens within that space that they don't agree with, or that clashes with some crummy ideology that they have, they almost take it more personally. It's like Game of Thrones. So many of the actors got crap because of the choices of the character. But because if Game of Thrones is a one season and done thing, I don't think that would happen. But because it became a phenomena, and people invested years of their lives in watching it, when Daenerys had a bit of a heel turn, people took it personally and started harassing the actress. And I think that's one of the things that, with these long-term game things, people were so connected with The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2. The Last of Us 2 had loads of drama with Laura Bailey, and that was awful.
Yeah.
But they're now so invested as, like, Naughty Dog fans or The Last of Us fans. Fake fans, if you're doing this sort of thing to the team and the actors, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a fake fan. But they're just taking all these creative decisions they don't agree with so personally and, like, lashing out, I feel.
I mean, I loved Game of Thrones. I hated the last season, but I didn't feel the need to send anyone a DM to tell them they were rubbish.
Was you on Twitter?
You know, but it's like it's good to be able to have conversations. Well, we talk about things we like and don't like in this podcast. It's fine, but it's not a person. It's a creative choice someone's made that you disagree with.
Yeah.
It's like fine, and like you can have disagreements, but it's about harbaging that atmosphere. And I wonder whether with a bit more maturity about. Games, because it's been around longer, people have played them for longer, people have made them for longer, people have written about them for longer, that, you know, you get to a place where you can have conversations that don't always turn toxic, because it is happening far too often. I think it is important, as sad as, because loads of beautiful and brilliant things about the games industry, but also there's an underbelly in places that is not very pretty, and so we should talk about it so that hopefully.
I'm hoping so, Steph, because I think we'll get way better games for it.
Yeah.
Like, the more open and the more welcoming people are to new ideas and trying different things, the better the games we'll get. Because, as I said, like, I always remember, like, I always say we grew up in the golden age of, like, gaming, because every game that was coming out was just trying something new. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But it was like, yeah, let's do that. But now it's like, I don't like this, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of restricts
it was better,
the scope
it was better
of what
in
we
my
can kind
day.
Of have.
How dare like, you do it like this when you do it? Yeah. You cast the same person again. Whatever. So look, so that is happening. Let us know what you think, you know, can be done to try and foster a more positive atmosphere around games, and whether or not actually we don't need to be too doom and gloom about it, because actually things are getting a bit better. Whatever your take on this situation, let us know. Get in the Discord, have the conversation, or get in touch on social media. PressX Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky, PressX Podcast on Instagram. And as they used to say on the telly, now for something completely different. Our producer David put this in the Discord, right, the other week, because it was something that came up in a WhatsApp group he's in. Which video game character would you camp with at a festival? So basically, you need to decide, you're going for a good time with someone responsible who's going to look after you, or you're going for someone who's up to some trouble. So, you know, Doom Guy might be an example actually here. I could see myself a download festival with Doom Guy, to be fair.
Oh, you're not getting in right? With Doom Guy. Well,
that's
you're getting
the
in,
safest
but like
ever.
Yeah. I'm sticking behind him. So look, who would make the best festival companion in your opinion from the world of games? Is it Mario who's going to look after you? Is it Nathan Drake who's probably going to cause you a bit of bother? Demi says definitely Dante from Devil May Cry. I think it'd be fun to party with.
To be fair, he seems like he's like the drunkest guy.
Yeah,
out
absolutely.
There.
He's front row of all the festivals, isn't he, old Dante? Levo says maybe I'm just biased based on playing the game a lot recently, but I reckon some of the Baldur's Gate lot could be good fun at a festival. Astarion might be a good festival companion. Good shout. And then Woogly says anybody who can teleport you to the front of the crowd and make a magic shield to keep off the rain. Good suggestions. Dave, who are you going to a festival with?
I mean, I'm probably going to pick someone like Steve from Minecraft, because I want someone that can build me a shelter that isn't a sway tent.
Oh, very good.
That's all I'm thinking of. Any video game character that could build me a structure with some form of protection that isn't plastic, that isn't going to keep me up when it's raining, isn't going to be an absolute sweaty mess in the inside. I just largely don't want to be go in a tent again. I'm 33. I'm too old and crumbly to be in a tent. So every character can build me some form of solid structure with surrounding resources is for me.
You're my kind of guy, and you will feel my pain when I'm in a stag WhatsApp group, right? And we're going on a stag this weekend. In fact, tomorrow we're going. And two things came up in quick succession, both short sentences that made my face droop in sadness. The first message was, sleeping bags needed.
Oh.
And the second message was, communal showers. And I, oh, lads.
Ah,
lads, you no, come on, hey.
This ain't a stag,
what's
dude.
Going on? What are we doing? We're in our 30s.
You sure? That sound like prison, bro.
We're in our 30s.
Mate,
sleeping bag and a communal oh god
invest in a camping mat if you can, save that bag.
Oh no, you gotta reply back and say no, I thought you guys were gonna say who's sharing which hotel room.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're so going and can you we're not going to Ibiza, we... Airbnbs.
We're going to Yorkshire and I'm hoping that it stays dry. Anyway, so that's a great shout with Steve from Minecraft. And no, I didn't think of Steve in Minecraft. Good idea there, Dave. What are you saying? I know
I'm on the similar lines. I'm going with Tom Nook.
Well, he's going to sell you something you can't afford, though.
No, Tom Nook, he's like a fixer. He's always got anything you want. Anything you need, you go to Tom Nook. He'll sort you out with it for a little fee. He's the kind of guy at the festival. You know, at a festival, you always go or you're camping and then you're like, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. Tom Nook's the guy. Okay. It's like, hey, Tom, you got it? He's got
We're
it.
All on a similar sort of line here. We'll have to people looking at
what video game character can provide the most comfort.
Yeah.
So, has there ever been a more men in their 30s as conversation?
We could have gone exciting, you know. Instead, we've gone boring because I've chosen a chef. I've gone for El Fuerte, the character from Street Fighter, who's a luchador but also a Mexican chef. Because imagine that. He can have some tasty quesadillas whilst watching some nice music, staying at the back. Love it.
Can you cook quesadillas on those tiny
little campfire? Yeah? Like, is that how you cooking them up?
Yeah, get a little camping stone from Tom Nook inside the nice cave built by Steve, having my Mexican feast. That's winning.
Fair, yeah. Nice. Wouldn't need sleeping bags then.
No, absolutely not.
There's three planks of wood and three wool, and then Steve will build your bed.
That's all you need. Just chop that tree down.
So look, let us know who would be your favourite gaming characters to go to a festival with. Your best festival companions, please. Get in the Discord, get on social media, and let us know your choices. Right, a couple of suggestions for the Spotify playlist. Actually, Dave, you put a Doom track in last time you were on.
I did.
So Doom is very much getting lots of affection from Dave on Press X recently. And this one is from Owen. He says, not exactly the place for this, but on the theme of gaming music, I just want to share that in high school I put the Pokemon Red tracks on my iPod shuffle back to back, so when I was on the school bus the music would change every couple of minutes as if I was passing through different routes. It was boss. Or when you had
he didn't have the like the battle music in there
he had far too much time on his hands. And this rogue suggestion, but a suggestion that I haven't ruled out, from Plantum. What about the Plants vs. Zombies main theme? And also, Zombie on Your Lawn.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, what about it? I mean, we can have a listen. It sounds a little bit like this. I will consider that, and we'll see how we go. If you want to find the playlist, you just search Spotify for the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist, and there you can follow along. And of course, if you'd like to suggest tracks, then you can do that in the Discord. Right, we're wrapping up now, so let's give you the trivia answer for this week. The question was, what simple hack did a developer on the game Wing Commander 1990 do to solve the problem of an error message when players exited the game? Dave, you said what again?
There was something about a exit message.
Yeah, that was it. Like a thank you for playing, essentially.
Yeah, that let you know that it was safe to turn off or something.
And what are you saying, Einel?
Mine was like just like a character, one character was wrong in the code that...
You were going to say you were going to use the F word then, weren't you? F this up, weren't you? You were going to say it. Yeah.
No. I would never say that about a developer.
I think Dave's onto something about a message when saying thank you. You're saying it's safe to leave. I'm going to say thank you for playing. Right? It's a similar message. Let me have a look at the answer. Yes! The answer is simple. They changed the error message to say thank you for playing Wing Commander. Hooray!
Nice.
Unfortunately, there is a bit of an urban legend around this, however, because the game never shipped with that fix in place. The developer, Kem Demariset, told WCNews.com, that is a Wing Commander website, that they found the cause of the error before shipping, and so they couldn't then, in good conscience, release it without fixing it. So they fixed the bug. Oh, that's a shame.
I think I only remember that because I went to a retro game society in university, and I think I only went twice, but once I have a vivid memory of someone being like, don't quit yet, don't quit yet, don't quit yet, don't quit yet. And I was like, I'm sure it was a Wing Commander ROM or something. I don't know what. Some depths of my brain that haven't been had a light shone on them.
Well, you've got yourself a point there, Dave. So you're now up to 33.3% in your in your guesses. That's great. So that is very good. Right, well, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Don't forget to get involved on social media and get in the Discord as well. We should have another retro episode for you on Thursday. They've been a bit squiff recently because of some things. So apologies if you've been waiting for one and they haven't been there. They will be back soon on a Thursday, so check that out. And then we're going to be back on Tuesday for more fun. And so we will see you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.